Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sean Pod with me. Oh, you sound so disappointed, kids. Hey, it's Sean Cullen here in the Sean Pod. I'm having a lovely day. My guest today will be Ron Hawkins. You know him, you love him, from Lowest of the Low and his own solo situations. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm a human nerky, which is like a turkey with nipples. And with me, of course, is Mark Edwards. He's a man who lives inside his own mind. How's it going in there, little baby fish pig?
Good.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah. I'm excited. I saw a great story in the paper, and it was that two New York State men have been charged in a bizarre plan to develop a mobile X-ray machine that would be used from afar to silently kill people.
What?
That's right. They had developed an X-ray thing that would shoot X-rays and kill people that they found undesirable.
But really what it would do is just reveal what their diseases are.
That might shock them into dying.
Yeah.
But
that's what they do. They fire it at you and they go, "Oh, one of your ribs is about to go into your heart." And they go, "What?"
And then they would die.
Yeah.
Out of fear. Maybe one of the ribs is about to go into your heart. That's the kind of ailment you think that they'd find.
Well, yeah.
Heart penetration by rib. That's a cause of death.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think you could kill someone with prolonged exposure to X-rays.
Yeah, but how long?
You develop cancer. I mean, when you go in, this is always disconcerting, but when you go into an X-ray place and you get, they put you on the table and then they go, zzz, but they always run and hide behind a lead wall and they leave you in there to be zapped.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I've heard also that if you go up on in a plane, it's like getting an X-ray every time you go up in space. Not in space, but, you know, rides up above the screening layer of the atmosphere. That's like
getting
zapped with an X-ray. So I've had 7,000 X-rays, and it's been excellent. I'm completely riddled with X-ray vibrations.
I feel like you're close to becoming like a superhero then.
Yeah, I think I'll turn it over soon, and I'll just... I'll turn into that guy. Yes, Mr. Horny. Mr. Horny. I look like a giant French horn.
Your body is contorted into spirals.
Yeah.
With three valves.
Three valves. Spiral. The incredible French horn man.
No, no. We're under attack by a bass clef. There he is.
I am a French horn. You cannot defeat me, because my embouchure is very difficult. The embouchure.
I was trying to find a French horn.
There's not on that. There's not. That's not it.
You got a piccolo.
Piccolo. Oh, look out! There are birds all over my face. Ah, it's a magical morning here on the outskirts of France. Ah, it's a giant. We're just having a soundscape day.
I'm sorry.
It's incredible. What other instruments do you think provoke certain, invoke certain images?
Well,
do you have anything
else
in there?
Let's press random buttons and see what happens.
Let's see what happens. Ah, I see a naked priest on a stool.
That was number 88. Pop organ.
Pop organ.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Any more? I see frat boys drinking from a keg and vomiting on each other.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's try 105.
Let's try that one. Ah, welcome to La Champs-Élysées. Would you like me to touch your sausage, André? Come near me again and I will cut you with my couteau, which is a knife from the French place. Smoke it. That was a good one. I felt like we were in the middle of France.
Oh, yeah. Let's do a 95. Oh, we already
did 95?
Well, I don't know.
Try it again. Maybe I'll have a different
feel.
It's
probably 42.
For 42?
Yeah, we'll see what's up with 42.
Okay. Ooh. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the laboratory of Xandar. I am your minister, Comaginor the Flygrantian. Come to my home and touch me. I will put you in a glass vase and lick your mouth. That really took me to a weird place.
It got there pretty fast.
It did. So, has anything happened to you in the news? Or oh, what was that?
It's an explosion.
Oh, jeez, is that woman screaming as she goes by in a train?
I don't know.
That is spooky.
I'm not into that anymore.
That's frightening me.
Sorry, what did you ask?
I don't know. I love those sounds, though. I didn't even know they had that on that keyboard. It's pretty fun. Remember back when keyboards didn't have any sounds? It was just hitting like hitting wood with a mallet.
Like a marimba?
I don't know what it was. It was just clank, clank.
Yeah.
In the old days, in the Stone Age, in prehistoric
times. You'd line up different sized rocks and hope they made different noises.
Yeah, that was it. Or skulls of your enemies.
Yeah, well, the children, the problem is you had to get a couple children's skulls to get those really, like, high up ones. You know
or
what I mean?
Pygmies.
But, yeah.
Or you could use marsupial skulls, I imagine. Oh, that was a little anteater friend. Oh,
elephant.
A bear's mother. A bear's mother. Spooky. Now, I love to talk about life and how about things that matter. Mm-hmm. And I can't think of anything right now. I think I don't care. And it doesn't matter. But you know who I'm really enjoying? Benedict Cumberbatch.
Ah, yes. I don't know.
That's not Benedict Cumberbatch.
No.
But he was Sherlock Holmes.
Is that him?
He was in Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah.
The new Sherlock Holmes. Have you ever watched that?
No. I saw him in Star Trek, though.
Oh, he's very good. Cumberbatch. How's your Cumberbatch? Sticky.
The Cumberbatch kids.
The Cumberbatch kids. They act your ass off. I don't know what that means. But Cumberbatch, very exciting. And I just thought maybe we could... we like to do a little bit of Holmes and Watson sometimes.
Oh.
Maybe we should just jump in there.
Yeah. All right.
Well, when I first met Holmes, I found him quite a provocative creature. I was living in Baker Street, 21 Baker Street. And I was applying for a roommate, a flatmate for... Because I was down on my luck, and I didn't have a lot of...
Well, Dan Watson, I don't know what you're saying.
Well, I was just beginning the narration of this episode, sir.
Ah.
Yes, sir. Would you care for a sniff of brandy, perhaps, Holmes?
I'm quite all right.
There, so, have you given any thought to the case of the curious monkey?
I have indeed. Oh. Now, the monkey is...
Very well.
...is the prime suspect in the murder.
Well, I don't know if he could be a suspect in a murder. I mean, he really isn't. He doesn't have the volition of a human mind to.
But he was the only one at the scene of the crime.
Well, I suppose, but if so, imagine if a dog was at the scene of a crime, Holmes.
I would assume it was a dog just the same.
I see. Well, I guess you, as you say, you eliminate all the things that are impossible and then you're left with the possible.
That's what I do.
Yes, I do. So, why did you call me in here today, Holmes?
Yes. I'd like you to have a look at something.
What is that, Holmes?
Let me just get my...
Let me take a look at it, Holmes.
Get my belt off.
Quickly, get
me...
What?
Get my belt off here.
Why are you taking your pants off, Holmes?
I just... Let me get them...
Yes. You're completely naked from
have
the
a
waist
look at
down,
that.
Holmes.
Have a look at that.
What do you mean?
Have a look.
It's your genitals, Holmes.
Yes. What do you think?
What has this got to do with the case, Holmes?
Ah, yes, I can see... How you would have become confused. I shall explain again.
Yes.
The primate was the only one at the scene of the crime.
All right. Would you pull up your
but
pants
there was
for
a
chimney...
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
But there was a chimney sweep on the ceiling. On the roof.
On the ceiling?
Dangling from the chandelier.
Oh, my goodness.
No, he was on the ceiling.
He was on the
roof.
You mean in the roof? Yes, I understand.
Yes,
he was
on,
okay, well,
he was on the roof. So it's
just
entirely,
get to the point,
entirely possible he dropped something down the chimney.
Like what?
Like poison or something.
Dropped some poison down the chimney, Holmes.
Yes.
My goodness.
I'll just get my pants off here for a second. Get
This has nothing...
Have a look at it from the back.
Nothing to do with the case, Holmes.
What do you think?
You've completely stripped...
What do you think?
...yourself from the waist down, and now you're dangling your bits down. And I don't understand, Holmes. What are you trying to say?
I just want to know what you think. I respect your professional opinion. That's why I brought you on, because you are the consummate professional.
Yes, I suppose I am a professional. I'm a doctor. I've treated many people in my life. But I can't imagine why I should be standing here... in your apartment, all by myself, looking at you, naked from the waist down, and being asked to make a judgment.
Perhaps my intentions would become a little clearer if you had a touch.
Let me get this straight, Hugs. You invited me over here.
Yes, to discuss the case and nothing
more. The case and nothing more.
I was very clear on that. We're to only discuss the case. That's what I'm paying you
for. That's what you said when you sent the boy around with a message. And yes. I read it. I came over as quickly as I could, Holmes. I was in the middle of brain surgery. And I left the poor chap wide open on the table.
Yes.
Whistling a hole in his head.
Yes.
And then I came rushing over here because I assumed you had something important to share about
I shouldn't have to explain your job to you while you're on the clock.
Why don't get paid for any of this, Holmes? I don't get paid to do this, Holmes.
Oh.
Yes. It's really a professional courtesy that I'm sharing this with you. I guess one might say that by writing these stories and publishing them, I do get some remuneration, but I'm really not your employee, Holmes.
So what you're saying is it's more than a professional relationship.
Well, I think over the years we've come to know each other very well.
Would you say we're friends?
We are friends, indeed.
Would you say we are best of friends?
Yes, I'd say we are best of friends.
Would you say we are more than friends?
Well, what exactly do you mean by more than friends, Hunt?
Sometimes, two men.
Yes.
They rent a cabin.
I imagine that's true. Perhaps they want to go do some shooting. Some fowling, perhaps, or fishing, or fly fishing in the ocean. We could go up to Scotland together, and maybe to go fly fishing.
I don't think there'll be much fishing, Holmes.
What?
I don't think... Oh, I'm Holmes. I don't think there'll be much fishing, Watson.
Why? What? In what way?
Oh, I think we'll be tired.
Why, we'll be tired, Holmes. We're going for long jaunts in the woods. We're going to hike. We're going to get in our walking shorts and manfully up and down the hills. The Scottish Hills, or perhaps in the Lake District, we'll go for a little walk, and,
I'm not going to lie, Watson. What you're describing sounds a little gay.
What? In what way?
I was just simply talking about a professional outing into a cabin in the woods, and you're talking about hiking and fly fishing.
Well, that's what you do anyway.
We're just friends, Watson.
Yes, I understand. But you just said we were more than friends, Holmes.
I was simply asking to make sure that we were on the same page.
Holmes, you've laid your penis across my thigh. In what way do you think this makes us more than friends?
You didn't stop me!
You're correct there. I did not stop you. And that makes me culpable, I suppose. Holmes, why are you playing the piano? This is so bizarre.
That was strange. It was a strange episode. It was a strange episode.
I'm a little boy with a foot cramp, and I cramped my foot 'cause you wanted me to kick you.
That's a nice song, but it really is not about anything. It's just a song that ended quite violently.
It was a violent ending to the song.
Well, you didn't see it, but my entire gut sack fell onto the ground. You couldn't hear it either.
Still neatly bound, but
in a gut
separate from your body.
In a gut pile. A pile of guts.
Yeah.
I once asked a man if he could touch my underpants. I don't know what that meant. Listen, we've had a very homoerotic turn to the show. I don't know what's going on. And I don't think our guest is in any way a homoerotic entity. Although I'm sure men would find him attractive. Ron Hawkins. He's a beautiful man. He's got a little beard. He's a dream. He's got a dream. And I have a dream. And I'd like to share it with you. So why don't we go and I'll wrap this up right now. We'll start this crazy homoerotic train
in Man Station. And we'll come back and we'll talk to Ron Hawkins, our good friend and guest. See you then, lowest of the low lovers.
This is the Sean Pod with Sean Cullen on Canada Talks. Welcome back to the Sean Pod with Sean Cullen on Canada Talks.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm back from wherever I was. I don't know where I was, but it felt good. I feel refreshed. I am covered in oils. I was robbed by a Japanese farmhand. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome my guest, who is a member of the Canadian Indie Music Hall of Fame. Is that correct?
I prefer the word elite. But
you're elite?
But I'll accept Hall of Fame.
Well, you're one of the elite. I mean, but isn't the entire idea of being indie rock not to be elite?
Yeah, but they still drag you in. They create something called the Indie Rock Hall of Fame just to
celebrate
you.
Celebrate your unfinishedness.
Yeah, exactly.
That's good. Well, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm in the Hobo Hall of Fame as well.
Are you really? Ron Hawkins, ladies and gentlemen, from, I guess, Canadian seminal band. Oh, you were not seminal. Have you been? There was no fluid.
There was a lot of Semin involved.
Yeah, there were. Alexander Semin was in the band briefly. And Ron Hawkins, ladies and gentlemen. Ron Hawkins, Lowest of the Low. And Lowest of the Low began when? 1991 was their first.
I'd say, yeah, 1990 we started, and then 1991 we started to be noticed.
There we go. And and then what happened? What happened? You guys split up, you got back together, you split up, you got back together.
Yeah.
You split up, you got back together, and you're currently working on a new album.
That was the first month of the band.
Really?
Yeah.
And how's it worked out since?
It's worked out well. It's kind of one of those classic scenarios. It's both an honor and an albatross.
Is it?
Been in that band.
Well, you know, I've been in a band. I've been in the Corky and the Juice Pigs, and, you know, you just go, there's irreconcilable differences. We just can't enjoy this anymore.
Right.
But you guys keep coming back.
Yeah, we had a really horrible, classic, horrible breakup, which is every documentary I've ever seen about a rock band since is exactly the same story. There's only one story, which is there's two guys who write in the band and sing. They eventually fight with each other. Somebody else in the band says, why are mommy and daddy fighting? But the band is ripped asunder anyway.
Oh, my God.
And they don't talk for a very long time. And then they realize, they grow a little bit older, I guess, and realize that was ridiculous. Why don't we talk to each other? And then you start talking to each other again. And then, of course, the inevitable reunion tour starts.
But you guys did that a couple of times.
Yeah, because then they realized, oh, no, I do hate you.
Oh.
And then we broke up again. And then some more time went by. And I was like, oh, I don't really hate you. I sort of have a mild dislike for you. And then we get back together.
And as you get older, the hate
you don't have the capacity for hate.
Yeah.
You know how much you could hate when you were in your 20s. You just don't have the capacity to hate that much in your
20s. It's sad that hate goes away. And like all strong emotions. Hate goes away.
Yeah, everything eventually goes away.
Hi, this is Mark Edwards. He's not on. I'm going to put on his microphone.
Mark looks young enough to still have a lot of hatred in him.
I have so much.
So much hatred. What's the thing you're hating right now?
Obviously,
you don't have any hate.
People.
People?
People.
People are a big hate-inducing organism.
What makes you hate most, Ron? What about the current world of people?
That there's just becoming more of them.
Yeah, that's a lot of people.
And that they say that, you know, as people get older, they become more so. So there's more of them becoming more so as they get older.
Oh.
The things you don't like about them already are going to get worse.
Well, they amplify with age. It's like a fine wine. Mm-hmm. It deepens and steeps in its own dislike until finally you've got something really old that you don't like at all. Now, Mark is a graduate of Humber College. Did you ever go to a college situation? Did you ever go to university?
I went and visited my friends at colleges.
What did you do? What you didn't want to go to university?
No, I was accepted at Sheridan College for animation. Actually.
Oh, so you're an artist, but you do art, and you have a couple of books of art that are available.
I'm also a visual painter type man, and I was going to go, and then I had the audacity to write them a letter and say, you know, I'm in this punk rock band, and if it could wait till next year.
And they said, no chance. Yeah,
so. I tried to get into the animation program. I didn't get in.
Were you in a punk rock band?
I wasn't.
so I had nothing to fall back on.
Well, that's why I was in a punk rock band, to have something to fall back on.
Yeah, because that's your mom said, listen, if you're going to study art, at least have a punk rock band to fall back on.
Animator?
Yeah, animator, really? Yeah. Okay, punk, you got to have a punk rock band.
Yeah.
That's what my mom said. You know, you want to be an actor, why don't you have something to fall back on, like a prostitute or masseuse?
Bed of nails.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty good. But lowest of the low, we're huge in Canada, huge in Toronto. I mean, your album.
In Ontario, I would say.
In Ontario, well, that's the thing. My wife is from Montreal, and this is such a weird, she was living in Montreal at that time. So lowest of the low, didn't hear about them.
Right.
Bare Naked Ladies, no. Sky Diggers, no. Mm-hmm. All of those bands from that era, but she was Boot Sauce, totally knew about Boot Sauce. And it's so weird how compartmentalized Canadian.
Well, we seem to skip Quebec. Like, we were Ontario, and then we were pretty big in the eastern, in the Maritimes. And then as you went west, a little less so and a little less so. And then in Vancouver, I made a lot of jokes in Vancouver. We played an opening spot for Spirit of the West, I believe. Pretty west.
Yeah,
west band.
They're west.
And opened up by saying, you know, don't hate us because we're beautiful and from Toronto.
And they hated you.
And they started throwing things and screaming, you suck, get out of here. You know, so we didn't do ourselves any favors when we went west. But
what is with the hate? I don't really understand.
I knew the hate was there, and I was poking
you
the
poked
hate.
The bear.
I poked the bear.
You poked the bear, the hate bear,
mm-hmm.
And it clawed you.
Yes.
It clawed your face.
Right off.
That ate it. And then there's your skull dripping blood, and the audience said, finally, something we can relate to.
Yeah. So you look at these Toronto people.
Oh, well, I don't understand Toronto like the Toronto hate. And it's just something I don't get it. I mean, there's mm-hmm. lots to hate about everywhere else, but I don't really think about it. Like, the thing that's weird is I don't really think about it at all. I don't think about hating Vancouver or hating Montreal. I kind of go, like, yeah, this has got some great qualities.
But if you tell them that, that's the thing, they'll hate you more. Because they'll say, oh, you're so smug, you don't even care to think about us and hate us.
Well, no more than I think about Istanbul or Hungary, how much I hate Hungary. You know, I just, why? I live in a town. I don't really cast too far asunder to get my hatreds.
Right.
I've got lots to hate right here. There's so much to hate in Toronto.
Yeah.
Right now. You don't need to look for opportunities elsewhere.
Why?
I'm writing a jingle. Do you do any jingle work? Do you do any jingle
work?
Do you ever written jingles?
No, I haven't written jingles.
It's called, something for this, you know. Yeah. Let's hear it. There's plenty to hate in this city. There's plenty to hate right at home. There's plenty to hate at the Sky Dome. There's plenty of hate for everyone in Toronto. You want to join in, Ron, anytime?
Sure.
In Toronto.
There's plenty to hate.
In Toronto.
It's never too late.
To hate Toronto.
I hate it, it's great.
How much I hate. How much do you hate Toronto?
I hate so much, Sean.
Thanks. How much do you hate the suburbs of Toronto?
I didn't know there were suburbs in Toronto.
Why, you arrogant prick?
Yes.
Why don't you know about everything outside of the city? It's so full of hate. You think it's so great. It may be too late to hate Toronto.
No, it's never too late.
Toronto.
I said it's never too late.
Toronto.
I can hardly wait.
Toronto.
To hate Toronto.
Now. Wow, that was amazing.
Yeah.
So you are a professional musician.
Yeah, I'm not a jingle writer, but I
you were right on top of
I
that.
I do jingle.
You do hooky little numbers. You
like,
do hooky.
Like the call and response.
Sure. That's what I thought. You know, that's incredible.
I thought about trying to turn it around to love, but
this is the thing I want to ask. Well, no, love. Don't turn it around.
No.
People just want to hate. They don't want to. Well, you know, that's not. You could change it and it grows to something love. No, hate is so close to love.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. But here's the thing that I find interesting about Canadian performers and in rock music and indie rock and everything. There is an element of the stand-up comic in most front men of bands in this country. Don't you think so?
Right.
Like, people are always like, between songs, they've got banter.
Yes.
Like, you don't see American bands bantering very much. Why is that, do you think?
Because they're arrogant pricks.
Oh, Jesus.
They feel it's like...
The rock's enough.
You're asking, why does the porcupine have quills, Sean?
I don't know.
To survive.
To survive. Yeah. Well, it's just like, it's this weird thing about, like, you kind of, I know that a lot of rock musicians want to be comedians. A lot of comedians want to be rock musicians.
Right.
I don't understand why. I mean, you know, look at Mark Edwards over there. He's a child, a baby, face. He's got nothing to offer, but he wants to be a comedian and a rock star.
He wants to offer it anyway.
Yeah, he wants to ruin everything for everyone. But I don't
survival.
Know.
I think in the van, you've been in the van going across
sure.
the country. It's a huge country, 18 hours till your first stop in Thunder Bay from Toronto.
Yeah.
And there's nothing to do except make the most horrible, dark, you know, terrible jokes that will keep you, that will sustain you. And hopefully you're sort of like, you're leeching yourself. You're getting it out of your system so you don't say those things on stage in front of people who think you're a liberal musician.
Well, there. Are you a liberal musician?
I play one on stage.
That's good. Now, what did this... it's like there's bands like Tragically Hip. They're a giant, I guess, the biggest kind of Canadian local band, Blue Rodeo. Mm-hmm. Lowest of the Low, we're in that category. But what is it that keeps it from going south? Like going into the States and blowing up, you know what I mean?
Well, the weird thing about us is that we blew up in Buffalo.
Yeah, that's what I know else. That. And you did a live, one of your albums, 2008, was a live.
Yeah, in Buffalo.
Yeah.
And people told
Short
me
of
could
a
be
bullet.
The mayor of Buffalo. I don't want to be the mayor of Buffalo, but I could be the mayor of Buffalo. Like, we played an outdoor show for 15,000 people in Buffalo. And
why?
They think that we're insanely, like, they think we're Oasis down there. And then I come home and, you know.
Well, that's the beauty of being a Canadian superstar, is you just come home.
Yeah.
And no one cares.
No. There's no sign. There's no.
It's like, who
slippers.
Are you? It's like, I always say, it's a who's that of Canadian celebrity when you go to like one of these parties and you're like, I know that guy, and I don't know what he is. Who he is. I've seen him.
Rogers commercial.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the ultimate in stardom for a lot of people.
In Canada, it is.
Yeah, for sure. Rogers, being on Rogers or a Bell ad where there's a giant bell. Word and you're doing something like at a drive-in or trying to watch a big screen TV. Yeah, that's the guy who can't work the control. That's and then you're a superstar or a Tim Hortons commercial.
Right,
you're the one who serves the latte, the new caramel filth latte.
Yeah,
not that I don't want to discourage Tim Hortons from sponsoring my show by saying they would serve a caramel filth latte. But they do. Anyway.
It's like a dirty martini. What's in a dirty martini? What makes it dirty?
A used paper
soil.
Cup. They use a used soil. A dirty martini. What makes a dirty martini, I think, is using some of the juice from the olive.
So that could be in the caramel filth.
The caramel filth.
A little olive juice.
A little olive juice. Mmm. Caramel and olives. Mmm. But I mean, the weirder things are happening right now.
Yeah.
I mean, bacon.
How have they
and
kept them apart for so
bacon
long?
And chocolate. You get chocolate covered bacon, stuff like that. Hot pepper and chocolate. Mm. Why do you want to ruin that? I guess it might be a fun, effervescent, exciting moment for people.
Right.
But I'm not into it. I hate it. So, now, what is your plan for the future here? What's going on? What's next?
I'm writing a lot of songs. I'm painting a lot of paintings.
Yeah, and you're going to do a new show?
The problem with me and my bands is that, as you said, the Lowest of the Low keeps breaking up and getting back together. And then I keep going forward and starting new bands. So the new bands don't break up, and then the old bands come back, and so then I'm just suddenly in a whole bunch of bands. And I've also got a solo career, and I'm not going to break up with myself.
You can't.
Because
that
that's a whole other show.
Heart.
Well, you could split into your id and ego and super ego, and then...
That's true, but I feel I've done that many nights in
your
you
ego
know,
plays bass,
vagina.
Right?
My ego plays bass. My ego plays whatever it wants to.
That's
Whoa,
right.
Whoa, he censored himself.
Yeah. He did. He pulled it back.
I just pulled back from the mic.
That's, well,
whatever
you're
the
good at that.
Want to.
Yeah. When you're sexy and then you pull it back, that makes it so tantalizing.
So currently I'm in a bunch of bands, it seems.
Yes.
I might even be, do you have a band? I might be in your band. I'm not
I
sure.
I actually do have one, sort of. Not really,
have you noticed me around?
Have you noticed?
Because I might be in your band. I'm just saying that I'm in a lot of bands.
Well, it was only me and one other guy, but now that I think about it, you might be the guy.
Yeah.
Are you Matt?
I'm...
Oh.
I feel a little Matt-ish on a Wednesday night. Do you rehearse on a Wednesday night?
Yes.
When I'm at my most Matt.
Well, that's your Matt day.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm on Matt leave right now.
You're on Matt leave. You're not tired of being Matt for that long. It's horrible. It's horrible. Now, you wouldn't know Lowest of the Low, would you? You're a child.
Yeah.
Mark, you're like 12.
Well, closer to 13 now.
I know. Well, your voice has certainly changed.
Well, listen how bassy it is now.
I know, it's very full.
Hey, guys.
Hey, wow, it is really low.
It's tumescent, almost.
Tumescent.
That's as low as I can go.
Yeah.
Hey.
So, you paint.
Yeah.
That was your first thing you did. Was it music first or painting?
No, I was a guy who drew a lot as a kid. Mm-hmm. And then I went to school and I took art classes in school, but I never painted anything. And then became a musician. And anytime I'd ever been on tour anywhere, like Europe and the States and wherever I've ever gone, I don't go to see live bands. I go to galleries. So I've always done that, go to see visual art instead of music. And then at some point, my partner Jill, we were in a gallery somewhere, and I said, you know, every time I'm at one of these things, I feel like I get this tactile feeling to try and paint or whatever. And a birthday came up, and she bought me probably $7 million worth of art supplies.
Wow.
It was early in our relationship. And
oh, yeah, she's over it now.
She just piled it all on me. And so then I was terrified that, you know, I got to do something now because
somebody gave me something.
Shot my big mouth off.
Yep.
And then it was sort of like heroin. I painted one painting, and I was completely hooked, and then started painting every day.
What? So you paint every day?
I don't paint every day now, but I mean, that first rush of it for a couple of years, I was painting almost every day. And now it's just this balance. When I'm not doing music, I'm painting. When I'm not painting, I'm doing music. And
how are they different, though?
I know other people talk about music this way, the same way that I'm going to talk about painting, which is that classic getting lost in it and losing 7 hours and shaking your head and stretching your back and realizing I've been doing this for 7 hours. I don't feel like music is much more... There's a cerebral part of it that doesn't happen with the painting.
That happens with me in eating. Just eating for 7 hours. Just a pizza after pizza. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And then I'm just...
get lost in a pizza.
I'm out of it. And then I wake up covered in sauce after 7 hours.
Yeah. I think Modi Liani was like that.
And then I start drinking, and I get lost in that. 8 hours. That's 15 hours. Then I go to bed.
Yeah.
And not once do I go to the bathroom.
That is weird.
It's
crazy. The cheese, probably.
Well, the cheese stops me up a bit, and then it turns into a giant sponge and absorbs all the liquid.
Right. And is there ever a reckoning? Like, is it Friday a really bad
day? I usually have surgery and have it removed in a big block. And then I give it to the poor and hobos to enjoy. Right, you said, are you a hobo?
I'm in the Hobo Hall of Fame, but I'm not.
Why?
Because, you know, I'm a musician, so it means... If I don't want to shave and I don't want to wash, I don't have to.
So you...
Can make me.
Is there an official Hobos Hall of Fame? Or you just call...
No,
your,
it's like...
You say that.
It's like the Indie Rock Hall of Fame. They don't have a building.
Oh.
It's sort of out here in the ether.
Right.
You know, I have a friend who's a painter, and he was talking... I bought this painting from him of Tommy Douglas. Fantastic painting, and it was part of a triptych. And he said, oh, my agent won't let me sell it to you because it's supposed to... It's up for possibly being in the Canadian Portrait Hall of Fame.
Oh.
And I said, wow. And I said, well, National Portrait Gallery. And I said, well, by all means, then, you know, put it in there.
Yeah.
And about 2 days later, he said, you know what? Leap him. I'm going to sell it to you. He said, you know, I know it's going to be in your house. You're going to love it. He said, I'd rather do that than wait around and see what happens, this whole, you know, the way the industry is. And so then I called him and I said, and he said, oh, congratulations. You got into the Indie Rock Hall of Fame. And I said, yeah. I said, do you guys have a building? And he said, no. Do you guys have a building? And I said, no. So there's nowhere you can go and see the Indie Rock Hall of Fame or the National Portrait Gallery yet. There's a warehouse full of portraits waiting for a building.
And a warehouse full of indie artists.
Yeah, waiting for anything to happen.
That's right, just a warehouse of potential.
Yeah, so, and back to the hobos.
And anger.
It looks like a big flop house full of indie
hobos.
Musicians.
I love the word hobo.
It's not used in...
From Hoboken, I guess. Mm-hmm. That's where one big railway terminus was in the
east. Is that where it comes from?
Yeah.
Not like, oh boy, I'm
broke. Oh boy, I'm broke.
I'm drunk.
Oh boy, I've eaten a lot of beans. Oh boy, I got a tetanus. I don't know where that one came in, but it did. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been really delighted to have my good friend. I think we're good friends now.
Yeah.
Because we've talked about hobos.
Yeah.
And this has been a wonderful interview. Ron Hawkins, Hobo Hall of Fame, Indie Rock Hall of Fame, Indie Hobo Rock Hall of Fame, Hobo Rock Indie Hall of Fame. He is in all of them. And come and look out for their new album. I don't know what it's going to be called. It's going to come out in 2014, I think.
I think it is.
The Lowest of the Low. If you like low, you will like The Lowest of the Low. Believe me. All right. And it's all sponsored by No Frills, where the lowest of the low prices are available. See you soon.
You're listening to The Sean Pod
with Sean Collin,
only on Canada Talks.
The Sean Pod has returned.
Here's Sean Collin.
I'm returned, you know. It's really nice to be with you. I enjoy being here in the studio. We just talked to Ron Hawkins, a big seminal group, not covered in semen, but they were a group, or they didn't impregnate people, although I'm sure they did. I know he has children that go to the school that my kids go to. What am I trying to say? They were important, lowest of the low, at the time, before you were born. You're a young man, Mark Edwards.
I'm not the youngest in the world.
No, there are younger. Glad we cleared that up. Yeah, it's true. I mean, but I really liked their music. And at that time, we were in Toronto, just coming back, Corky and the Juice Pigs, and just starting, really, and being a part of the scene. And they were serious people, and we were losers. Back then, comedy was nothing. People spat in your face on a regular basis.
They still do.
Well, they do that, too. It's true. I go down the street sometimes.
But now you have to beg them to spit in your face.
Please spit in my face. Right now.
Sorry, we don't do comedy here.
Yeah, I was thinking about Batman. Right. And the thing is with Batman, it just struck me that he's afraid of bats. Like, he has a childhood trauma with bats, mm-hmm. right? And that leads to his bat obsession and leads to his very cool persona and his
costume.
That whole thing, the costume. But what if he'd had some other kind of traumatic situation?
Like if a snapping turtle bit his finger off?
Yeah, that's right. What would he do? Like become the snapping turtle?
I'm Snapping Turtle Man. You can't escape me. Get in the water. Get in the water. I'll bite your finger off with my polycarbon beak. I'm Snapping Turtle Man.
See? That's not really, doesn't carry the same weight.
No, it doesn't.
Or if he'd been, gotten really bad poison ivy.
I'm Itchy Finger Man. Come over here. Scratch me.
It's not really going to work either.
No, it's not.
What other... I can't think of it.
What if he ate he got a tapeworm?
I'm Tapeworm Man. Give me anything to eat and it'll be gone. I'll still not gain any weight. My crime-fighting abilities are almost none. But I'm extremely slim.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Or maybe he shot his own sibling with an accidentally discharging weapon.
Put down the weapon. I'm accidentally shot my brother, man. And I'll accidentally shoot you too. And no one can pin it on me. Because it's an accident.
That would be a very what would you call it? A tangential superpower.
Yeah.
Being able to kill people accidentally.
Because you wouldn't always get the villain.
Yeah, well, we just have to kind of go with the law of averages, hoping you get a bad guy every once in a while, just leaving accidents out ready to happen. And then the liability issues would be horrible. Like if you left, like, oh, this poorly designed bridge... Hopefully, a bad guy will be killed when it collapses, but also many other people, and then you'd be sued, and you would, and that's why you'd need an alternate identity, because
to hide from lawsuits.
Yeah, to hide from lawsuits, that would be difficult. That would be a waste of time, really.
Mm-hmm.
Have I exhausted this topic? Do you think?
No, it's just very.
I think
it's really
so.
Deep. It's deep.
It's on many levels working
I'm
towards me.
I'm sort of still processing it.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a few moments of silence just to think about that. All right, that wouldn't be good radio. That would not be good radio.
I don't think it'd be good television either.
No, just watching people think.
The Thinking Hour on C-SPAN.
Ponder us. Ponder. Ponder this. Maybe it's time for a PSA.
A PSA.
Maybe it is, because we always try and do work for charity. So let's see what what's up this
time.
Why
don't you press play here?
Yeah, just got it. Hi. My name's Danny DeVito. And many people know me as a small, dwarfish man who played the Penguin in the second Batman movie directed by Tim Burton. But there's another side of me that a lot of people don't know about. And that's the fact that my Siamese twin brother lives in my ass. And many other people are born with twins in their rectal cavity every year, and the number is growing. Imagine the horror of trying to get a picture taken with your brother and having to crawl into your own rectal cavity to do it. Imagine being taunted at school. Hey, where's your baby brother? In your ass. It hurts. And it hurts to have someone living in your ass, especially as you get older. Please give generously to Take My Brother Out of Me, a nonprofit organization that provides the money needed in the third world to remove siblings from within other siblings. Please give generously. Every cent can help. I'm Danny DeVito. And I approve this message. That's interesting.
That was a condition I was entirely not aware of.
Yep. It's people are born with twins inside their asses. It's hard to believe. It's hard to believe that this
It's hard to believe that we're not doing anything about it.
Oh, that's what's hardest to believe. That I mean, the funding is not there. And obviously the research is not happening.
No, because we know almost nothing about it.
We know nothing about this. No one in the world knows about it. No one except Mr. Rubber Band Man. Woo, 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 woo. Oh, that's such a happy sound.
I know.
Oh, now, what do you like to do for your summer holidays? What do you like to do? Do you have any plans?
Over the summer, I just go to the cottage on the weekend.
Oh, right. That's what if you don't have a cottage?
I do.
What? Yeah, but what if I don't have a cottage?
You don't have a cottage.
No, I don't have a cottage.
So it's not a what if. You're just saying you don't have a cottage.
I don't have a cottage.
Okay, you don't have a cottage.
So what am I supposed to do?
Go. I don't care.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
You don't
care.
Well,
go to just you. A cottage doesn't actually have to be a cottage. It just has to be a building that is not your house. So in a way,
so this is a cottage.
We're in a cottage right
Any
now.
Any building you go into that's not your house
yeah.
is a cottage.
But it has to be at least an hour away.
So if I get in the subway, go across town, mm-hmm. and then walk for 15 minutes.
Scarborough.
Yep. And then go into house. Mm-hmm. I'm at the cottage.
Maybe not the cottage. A cottage.
A cottage.
Yeah. Maybe not your cottage. A cottage.
So will people mind if I walk around in flip-flops in their house?
No.
When I show up and say, hey, I'm just at the cottage this weekend. I hope you don't mind.
Yeah,
Should
no,
I phone
it's not,
ahead? Or?
The things that make a cottage are, is it's more about what you tell people before you leave. People say, what are you doing this weekend? You say, I'm going to the cottage.
Right.
And they go, oh, no, I'm going to the cottage. I'm just going to the cottage. We're going to the cottage, and I can't do anything. There's no phone, no internet, so I'm going to the cottage this weekend.
Wow. Well, I mean, People, you know, all over the world, all over the country, have different names for the cottage.
Right.
I mean, in Ontario, it's cottage. Mm-hmm. Some people saying going to the cabin.
The summer home.
The summer home.
I think
the
summer
chalet.
Summer home implies you have a basement. Chalet implies there's a ski hill nearby.
Yeah. Or the camp. I've heard that down on the East Coast. Camp.
Actually, my cottage is at what is referred to as a camp on the sign.
Camp what?
It's called Lakeshore Camp.
Lakeshore Camp.
On the shore of the lake.
Of a lake? Yep. It's perfectly descriptive.
Yeah.
But there, you know, and in Indiana, they call them the pit frave.
Pit Fave, yeah.
Yep. And in China, they're called the Poisonous Gas Hut. No one knows why they call it that.
And no one knows why you'd ever want to go there.
Yeah. Dacha in Russia.
Dacha in
the
Russia.
The dacha. You go to the dacha down by the Lacha, which is not lake. But it's beautiful, you know, the dachas, and you can go there and hide from the present regime.
And shoot yourself out of a cannon into the lake.
That's so exciting.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
The
Stalin
kids like it.
Stalin used to love going to the dacha.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He would...
Bocce ball.
He would
dacha ball.
He would perform a purge on the armed forces and then go out to the dacha to rest.
Mm-hmm.
And think about what he'd done. Or not think about it.
Invade the local diner.
Yeah. Just, you know, force people to turn their parents in to the secret police. That was what he used to do. He'd go out swimming and floating around in a little inner tube mm-hmm. out on the lake. And just with a bullhorn, condemn people.
Yeah.
It was a very relaxing thing for him when he's drinking a big glass of iced
distressing
tea.
For the rest of the neighborhood.
Yeah, that's right. When as soon as Stalin bought his dacha, everyone was like, whoa, there goes the dacha hood.
Yeah.
Lakeshore Camp is now a gulag. This is not fun. We're not happy. Yeah, and I don't know. I suppose, you know, if you already live in a cabin... Would you go and get a cottage?
You get a condo in the city.
You do. I'm going to the condo
for
the
weekend. Home.
Yeah, that's your winter home.
Mm-hmm.
Condos. Condominiums. What's a condominium, really? It's an apartment that you buy, right?
Yep. That's all it is.
That's all it is. Stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Foolish. Crazy. Not really. I mean, it seems to be a viable way of living. I really condemned it out of hand, and there's no reason to. I used to own a condominium.
Did you?
Yep.
Where?
Right down at Wellington and right by Blue Jays Way, right by the Sky Dome. And I would sit on my balcony and wait for fly balls to shoot out of the Sky Dome into my hands.
Mm-hmm.
Never happened.
No.
Because it was about a kilometer.
But your neighbor got like 20.
He got 20 right every night.
Just rubbed her in your face. Too.
She didn't even have a balcony that just kept smashing his window. Just ridiculous. It's so annoying. So annoying. When you deserve a ball. You deserve a fly ball in your hand. A ball in the hand. That's what you deserve. You don't
ball
get
in the hand is worth two in the eye.
That's true. Now, do you think we have time for a small... A scene beside the scene? Yeah, I think we have time for a scene beside the scene. And this scene, do you have a little theme music for scene beside the scene?
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Scene Beside the Scene, where we take scenes from great motion pictures and act out what's happening right beside them among lesser characters of no value whatsoever. Today... The giant invasion scene from The Avengers. We join Dave and Hal sitting eating hot dogs on a park bench in the middle of New York. Wow, these hot dogs are awesome.
It's the best hot dogs I've ever had.
Yeah, it's good. You know, I'd like a mustard on my hot dog. Whoa! Did you see something over there?
Nah, I'm looking in a different direction than you.
Well, yeah, well, look over there. You see that?
Where?
There's a giant...
Well, there's
whoa,
a lady over there walking a dog. Yeah, she's pretty, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, no, not the lady. Look up at the sky.
Did you see this lady?
Look at the sky, Giacomo.
Giacomo.
Look, I don't know what that is, but
hey.
Look up the hole.
Whoa, it's pretty sunny there. I don't
want
to look directly
look,
at the sun.
Away from the sun, and where I'm pointing, knucklehead. Look, there's a giant hole opening in
it's
the sky.
It's hard to tell where you're pointing, because from your perspective, your eyes line up with your finger, but for me, I could be looking at your wrist.
Would you just lay off? How can you miss this? It's a giant hole in the middle of the sky. See that?
Oh!
Whoa,
hey! Okay, I see
okay,
it. Yeah.
What are these things coming out of it?
Yeah,
it's like a giant snake?
Little lizard
dragon.
Guys. Yeah, little lizard guys on skateboards there.
This is bizarre.
This is crazy.
This is crazy. Have you read anything about this happening tomorrow, today, anytime?
Well, no, this is not in the weather forecast.
You think this is part
they
of like
they said
a...
it might be cloudy today, but this is worse.
Yeah, it was cloudy, but there was no cloudy with the chance of lizard men on skateboards
no,
shooting
I
through
mean,
the sky.
I thought it was going to rain. That's why I didn't arrange for baseball this afternoon.
You didn't
if I
arrange
do it,
if for I baseball?
Do it, if I...
Can you just not
concentrate on stupid things right now?
If I thought it was going to rain, if I thought it was going to be aliens, I wouldn't have left the house at all. That's all I'm saying.
Look, there's aliens invading our world through a portal from a different era or time.
Okay.
Right. Whoa.
Well, you don't know that. You don't know them.
Look who it is. What? It's Iron Man.
I know.
I so love that guy.
I know. I saw all of his. I follow him on Twitter.
You follow him on Twitter?
Yeah.
Ah,
he tweets really funny things like, hey, I'm Iron Man and stuff like that.
That's funny.
Yeah.
He's got a sense of humor that's dark. He's so good. Oh, what's that green fella? What's that guy doing? He's totally destroying that giant lizard thing.
He just punched it right in the mouth.
And they're pulling it down to the ground. How is that even possible with gravity?
I don't understand how that thing was flying so slow, too.
That's crazy.
He's like, you see a jet. Like, a jet is big.
Going pretty fast.
Yeah, but that thing was just sort of leisurely weaving in out of the building.
It must have some form of alternate propulsion system or, like, anti-gravity. Yeah, yeah.
I'm not a scientist, sorry.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what I'm really talking about. Whoa! Yeah. Hey,
it was okay.
Okay, I understand the guy shooting energy out of his Iron Man suit.
Yeah.
I understand the giant green
He seems to be getting the job done.
Yeah, he's getting the job done. This guy, I don't know, the kind of gay surfer-looking guy with the hammer, he seems to be holding his own.
Yeah, look at him. He's shooting like lightning out of his tools there.
What is the deal with the guy with the bow and arrow?
Oh, who's this guy? Robin Hood?
I mean, what's he going to do? You know, like, what, hit a guy with an arrow? That seems like...
Yeah,
it's dumb.
You got your big green gorilla there. You got the robot flying around. And you got that guy shooting lightning out of his hammer.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah.
And who's this? Hey, who's that? Who's the chick with the gun?
It's hot.
Yeah, she's not bad.
But she's really not making a dent.
No.
No.
That's like a 22. That's all. What was that going to do?
Nothing.
I feel like she's only here for us to look at.
Hey, get yourself a lightning hammer, lady.
Yeah. Hey, why don't you get a lightning hammer?
Yeah, I got your lightning hammer right here.
It's his penis.
Yeah. There's no need to be crude about it.
Sorry.
I was just trying. It was in the window.
I'm sorry. That was disrespectful.
She might shoot you right
in
the face.
She's doing her job.
She's doing what she's got. She's doing the best she can.
Yeah. Who's that guy? Looks like the blue guy with the big disc.
Oh, my God. I've got his collector card.
I thought the guy was dead.
I thought he was dead,
too. I thought he died in, like, the 40s.
Yeah, he was lost. I don't know what happened to him. But there he is. He's Captain America.
Wait, so what? Isn't he, like, 100 years old then?
No, he's not 100. Couldn't be 100. He's in pretty good shape.
Well, not bad. Best shape I've ever seen in a 100-year-old.
That's true.
Well, your Uncle Rick, how old is he?
My Uncle Rick is 98. And, my God, his pecs are still firm.
Firm.
Yeah.
It's like the skin is loose, but the muscles rock hard.
That's right. That's what's going to be on his tombstone. The skin is firm, but the muscles... What?
The skin is loose, but the muscles rock hard. As he used to say.
Anyway, I think it's getting a little dangerous here. Do you want to go and maybe get some chicken nuggets?
I don't care. Just anywhere inside. This is too sunny out here.
Yeah, that's right. You're going to get... I didn't even put on some sunscreen.
Thank you for listening to Scenes Beside the Scenes. This has been a Sean Pod production.
Wow, that was amazing. Well, we've got to wrap it up. We're at the very end of our life here and our show. But thank you to our guest, Ron Hawkins. And thank you to you, Mark.
Thanks.
It's a real pleasure to see you. And now let's get funky and walk away. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to thank the Avengers. I'd like to thank that man who goes, huh, that we hired. He's doing great. Yeah. And I'd like to thank our beautiful engineer for yelling DACA every once in a while. And I'd like to thank everyone who's listening on Sirius XM 167 Canada Talks. Wherever you are in this world, please caress yourself gently and think it's me. Imagine it's me caressing you gently. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll see you next time on the Sean Pod. I'm Sean Cullen, and you're all baby ladies.